Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska!
I think it's the best show on the air ever that has been. It's weird how good it is. It's so strange.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, October 13, 2022. This is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. What's up? I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi. Day 632 of the Biden-Harris administration. 25 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska. Twitter, BobSeska_go. And of course, our Patreon page is BobSeskaShow.com. Oh my God. If this is the first time you've ever listened to the show, it's gonna be a big one. The goth ninjas are both here, but one of the goth ninjas is sitting right behind me.
Shh, don't tell him.
Spicy Jody Hamilton sitting right behind me. She is in studio,
in person,
for the first time ever. Someone who's not Kimberly is lurking behind me,
yes.
Like a stalker.
Yes.
We have such a weird setup here. Oh, and also, that's David Ferguson. We call him T-Rex.
Whee!
He's from Astral Summer, astralsummer.bandcamp.com. And, of course, Jody's from the From the Bunker podcast, patreon.com/FromTheBunker. Also, the Stephanie Miller Show at stephaniemiller.com. Wow. This is a huge deal.
I'm so jealous. I'm just insanely jealous that I'm not there. I'm the stinky kid today, I guess. Like, relegated to like remote audio while you guys get to hang out and braid each other's hair and talk about boys. And
that's what we're going to do. We're all wearing our footy pajamas right now.
We are.
Well, this is a huge momentous day, a momentous occasion for the show, not only because Jody is actually here. I've been so accustomed to just talking to invisible people on the show. I sit here by myself,
I'm invisible to you anyway. I'm sitting right behind you and you can't even see me.
That's also true. So you might as well still be in California. Hey, you know what? Just get out. Go home.
Go back to the refrigerator in the other room.
The experiment has failed. But you know what? Not only is Jody Hamilton here, but we have another secret celebrity guest.
Before we get to that, I want to do a quick game. I want each of you to smell the other one and tell me what you smell.
Oh, no, it's very...
I don't have a sense of smell. I have to be left out of this one.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah.
You took a blow to the head or something, right?
Yeah. And how insulting, too. I'm going to be hurt by this for a long time.
He's Dewey Cox.
Thanks for reminding me, David. Now I'm the one who feels stinky and left out. All right, well, let's do this. We have another secret celebrity... guest star. Can we say guest star?
Yeah, she's an extra special guest star.
She really, really is. Yeah. And so that's the first hint, David. She's a she.
There you
go. Oh my God. Jody, is it your mom?
No.
Oh my God.
No, it's not my mother.
Oh, man. Okay, so I was like shoot for the moon for a second because I really was like, holy shit. Okay.
I have to summon our celebrity guest star into the room, our secret celebrity. Secret celebrity, please enter. Enter and sign in, please.
Enter and sign in.
Yes. Come on in.
Please present your visitor's badge to the officer at the desk.
I'll text her.
All right. Okay, behind Carol Burnett, because Carol Burnett is number one, it would have to be Mary Trump.
No, it is not Mary.
Aww. You guys are breaking my heart because each time I come up with one of these guests, I'm thinking about how fun it would be to
do a show. Give him a hint?
Yes, you could start out with a hint. Hi, secret celebrity. You can pick up that microphone right there. I'm sure you're going to be able to hear David through our headphones because my headphones are ridiculously loud.
This is a good hint. This is deafening a good hint. Me.
All right, say hi, secret celebrity.
Say hi first, yeah.
Hi.
Okay, there's our secret celebrity. I guess we'll start this music up again. David, you have 10 guesses.
He's got 8 left.
Yeah.
So here's a hint on how...
He only has 8 left? When did he guess the other 2? Oh, he guessed your mom.
And then Mary Trump.
And then Mary Trump, okay.
So on Halloween, you will see this one particular movie.
It's Jamie Lee Curtis? Oh, no.
Close.
No, not Jamie Lee Curtis.
Close.
Sorry.
But you're not far.
Now you've made her feel really bad because she's not Jamie Lee Curtis.
Well, Carol Burnett was the first guest.
Okay. Can you hear the other voice in our headphones? Secret celebrity?
No.
Okay. No. All right. So, David, one more guess. You get another guess. How many guesses is that?
That would be 3.
Okay. All right. What's your next guess, David?
I need another hint.
How about she has blonde hair?
Okay, blonde hair.
Sarah Jessica Parker?
No. Another wrong guess. You have 6 more guesses left. Okay, you know what? I'm going to give you another hint,
yeah,
David. I'm going to make this easier for you so we can move this along and they can go back in and watch the hearings, which are happening right now. People of the future, lucky you.
People of the future. I'm gonna make that happen, Bob, before the next show.
She has been in 3 of the most iconic 80s movies of Generation X. Huge movie.
I am just fraud. I don't want to hurt this person's feelings because it sounds like I should know who they are.
You should. She plays Tina's a lot.
Yes. And Beth's.
And
she's
Beth's.
Played several Beth's.
And Tina's.
I'm coming up.
Okay.
I surrender. I'm going to just raise the white flag.
She did a movie with Sean Penn.
Have you forfeited, David?
It's
you
forfeited. Madonna?
It's not Madonna.
No, also not Madonna. All right, David, you know who's here? The great, the inimitable Amanda Wiss from Nightmare on Elm Street, from Better Off Dead,
like,
from Fast Times at
Ridgemont
fucking
High,
Ridgemont High.
Dude, seriously.
I'm so sorry your mom blew up.
Did you hear that? Because I'm so sorry your mom blew up.
I was thinking they should have given you the hint, do you mind if I take Beth out?
That's right. Oh, man. All right. Well, so yes, Amanda Wiss is here. Thank you, Amanda, for coming by.
Yay.
You're the best.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, you guys enjoy.
Okay, go.
Oh, wait, you're not staying? Why don't you tell us your favorite scene from Better Off Dead?
Okay, your favorite. She wants to know your favorite scene from Better Off Dead.
I think my favorite scene from Better Off Dead is my scene with John Cusack where we think we have things on our face.
I love that.
Outstanding. All right.
Oh my gosh, such an honor to meet you.
He's honored to meet you.
It's an honor to get to chat with you as well, and I hope you guys have a great chat.
Excellent. And make sure to come rushing in with any breaking news from
please.
The hearings.
Yes.
So yeah. That's what we've invited, you know, this amazing actress to our house to give us breaking news alerts during the hearings.
It's like Sigourney Weaver and what's the name of the movie? Oh, God. Where she's like, I repeat what the computer says. That's what I do.
Galaxy Quest. Yes, of course.
Galaxy
I love that.
Quest.
I love that movie. So, yes, the January 6th hearings are taking place right now. I believe they're talking about Roger Stone. We're not going to be watching this until after. We're going to be watching it on tape delay on DVR. So that's going to be lots of fun. Watching a news event that was happening live, but then like 2.5, 3 hours later. We're right on top of things here in the show. And don't they know who we are?
I know. They should have waited.
Yes. Don't they know that Jody Hamilton is here with the great Amanda Wiss?
Seriously.
Yeah. So Amanda and Kimberly are out in the living room watching the hearings. Me and Jody are in here talking to David. And so first and foremost.
It's probably just as well that it's not Jody's mom because I would be completely starstruck and tongue-tied, yeah. And I would just be like sputtering away. Like,
me
and you is, and the thing with the cotton pony and the and the your dinghy's got a yeah. Oh man, Carol Burnett, it's really nice to meet you.
You know what? I wouldn't be functioning right now if Jody's mom were here. So, okay, let's get into this big news from yesterday with Alex Jones finally facing some serious comeuppance and some shocking comeuppance.
Yeah.
I was watching these proceedings happening in Connecticut live yesterday, and they started announcing the dollar figures.
Yeah.
And I thought I was hearing it wrong. I thought, well, this can't possibly be what they, this may be what they were asking for. That's what I started thinking. These are the numbers that the plaintiffs were asking for. The Sandy Hook families were asking.
Yeah, no, it was the court awards.
It was gigantic. Robbie Parker, who's the father of six-year-old Emily Parker, $120 million. Wow. Oh, I have sounds for this today. There you go. David Wheeler, father of six-year-old Benjamin Wheeler, $55 million. Francine Wheeler, mother of Benjamin Wheeler, $54 million. Jacqueline Barden, mother of seven-year-old Daniel Barden, $28.8 million. Nicole, okay, yeah. Did I say Mark Barden, father of Daniel Barden, $57.6 million. Jesus. Nicole Hockley, mother of six-year-old Dylan Hockley, $73.6 million. You can imagine as I'm hearing this, like how, I think everyone was feeling this way, like, how is this even
conceivable?
It's like
you're getting up to, you start throwing around a couple of extra $100 million. You're talking some real money here after a while.
I know, seriously.
That's like a tenth of an Iraq war, isn't it?
Or
yeah, holy shit, you're exactly right. Yeah, Ian Hockley, father of Dylan Hockley, $81.6 million. Jennifer Hensel, mother of six-year-old Aviel Richmond, $52 million. Donna Soto, mother of 27-year-old Victoria Soto, these are all six-year-olds we're talking about. This makes it even more astonishing what we're going to talk about here in a second with regard to Alex Jones's reaction. But $48 million there. Carly Soto Parisi, sister of Victoria Soto, $66 million. Jillian Soto, sister of Victoria Soto, $68.8 million. William Aldenberg, FBI agent and first responder at Sandy Hook, $90 million.
Wow.
Erica Lafferty, daughter of 47-year-old Sandy Hook principal Don Hochsprung, $76 million. William Sherlock, husband of 56-year-old school psychologist Mary Sherlock, $36 million. And of course, the attorney's fees for the plaintiffs will be awarded at a later date. Right. Oh my God.
Wow.
This is such a beautiful thing for so many reasons. And one of the main reasons, did you guys see Alex Jones's reaction video to this?
Yes.
He was doing his show live while they were reading the verdict and all of this. And he was being just a phenomenal a-hole.
Yeah.
I mean, predictably, not even taking it seriously, thinking I'm going to wiggle out of this because I'm filing bankruptcy.
Right.
So that's my escape hatch. The crazy thing about that is it's not going to fucking work. He can't get out of this.
No, OJ didn't get out of it. Any money he makes from now on is going to go to the victims.
Yeah, former U.S. attorney or assistant U.S. attorney Richard Signorelli tweeted this yesterday, said, these awards are not dischargeable in a personal bankruptcy because they're based on intentional tortious conduct.
Right.
Jones will be hounded for the rest of his days for payment, and any efforts at hiding income slash assets could be met with contempt sanctions, and get ready for this, including imprisonment.
Yes.
And you
I'm
know,
wondering like where his money is and if it's traceable and if they can actually find where he's hidden it all, because he's got shit tons of money. You know he does.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's put this into perspective. Speaking of that, speaking of how much money Alex Jones actually has, according to experts, Alex Jones and his empire of total, you know, unmitigated horseshit is worth $270 million. That's his entire empire. Mm-hmm. Now, this is fun to do. This is fun to calculate things and put the things into perspective like this, because it is Alex Jones and he's receiving comeuppance finally. So if Jones turned over all of his assets, all $270 million in assets, his show, his property, his businesses, future profits, all of that shit, he would still owe $745 million to the families. And that is before the next layer of all of this. Because, and this made me even happier than I was after this verdict was handed down. Did you know that there's yet a third defamation damages trial that's going to be happening in December?
Wow.
Awesome. So all told, it could end up being that at the end of all of this, so you roll in, okay, right, we're at, what did I say, $965 million. Yeah, I'm getting mixed up like Dr. Evil.
Dr. Evil. Like,
$1 million.
Yeah, it's billion. We're talking about $1 billion yeah. if you add in the damages from the previous trial, which I think were $45 million. Is that what
it was, Jody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Now, with regards to his reaction.
Yeah.
I want to urge you guys to watch last night's Alex Jones. Not Alex Jones. Alex, what's her name?
Alex.
In the 9 o'clock.
Alex Wagner.
Wagner.
Yeah.
Alex Wagner.
Yeah.
Show the clip she shows of him. He's like talking, and he pauses for a weird second when he's talking about people going to the website and buying supplements and stuff. Like, stop the video there and back it up just a tiny bit and watch the series of expressions that cross his face because he's trying to put on his like, well, ha ha, I'm invincible. This means nothing to me.
Oh, yeah.
But like when his face, like he's talking and for a split second, he loses track of himself or something and his face just collapses.
Yeah.
Everything turns downward. Like it's a micro expression or whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he like makes this like choking face, like juts his chin out. Like he's like, he can't breathe. And it's like the way, I was like, what do you see there, Ben? Cause I'm, you know, we do this sometimes with people when they're lying on TV. And he's like, he looks like he is like, there's a, like the weight of the world.
David, was it this noise? Is that the noise he made?
No, he got complete, yes, sort of, but it got completely quiet for a second. Like he really like was choking. Like he couldn't breathe.
Mm-hmm. By the way, that was actually Alex Jones making that. That wasn't me making that noise. That was Alex Jones. Here it is in context.
And tell him that we're liars.
That's for real.
It's like feedback.
Yeah,
it's just
it
like
is. It is.
I assume his
like
lawyers are
going to
appeal.
That's automatically going to happen. Yeah. But the chances of winning that appeal are probably...
Well, they might just reduce his damages. Because like when my mom went against the National Enquirer...
Yeah.
She was suing for $10 million. She was awarded $2 million and some change, and it ended up $200,000. She donated the money prior to getting any, but on appeal, it was reduced to $200,000. So
Yeah.
But still, $100 million out of $1 billion is still a shit ton of money.
Well, yeah, what I was going to say before is it could be a lot more than just $1 billion because we have this third damages trial that's going to take place in December. So at the end of the day, we could be looking at a total of more than $2 billion.
I love it.
That he'll be on the hook for.
Hope so.
And so that's a lot of money. That, in terms of getting that number reduced through appeals, let's say they cut it in half.
Yeah.
Let's just say that he ends up walking away with only having to pay half of it. That's still around $1 billion.
Yeah.
Or if he wins nothing in the next damages trial, still owing $500 million.
Yep.
That's still an enormous burden that I don't think any amount of, you know, selling super vitality mail is going to is going to pay that debt. He is going to be pursued for this for the rest of his life. And if he's counting on the appeal to bail him out, or if he's counting on bankruptcy to bail him out, he is deluding himself. He's deluding his listeners, his fanboys, all the rest of it. So going back to what you were saying, David, about not about the funny noise, but about about the reaction to the actual verdict being handed down yesterday. Here's a little bit of Alex Jones making things worse for himself. Donald Trump's not the only one who makes things worse for himself. Alex Jones, too.
$57 million, $20 million, $50 million, $80 million, $100 million, blah, blah. You get a million, you get $100 million, you get a $50
million.
Wow.
Yeah, not
he
funny.
He has the impulse control of a border collie on crystal meth. You know,
there you go. I mean,
yeah, no matter how much he jokes about this or plays it down, this is an amount that I think would make even the strongest constitutions just shit themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, this is basically Alex Jones crapping himself, but not letting anyone know that he's crapping himself.
Ain't going to be happening. Ain't no money.
Oh, that, you know what? That's a key sound clip. Let's play that again. Yeah. Let's roll this back.
Ain't going to be happening. Ain't no money.
Ain't no money. He thinks he's going to hide his assets from all of this. He thinks he's going to get away with this. He believes that he is invincible. Like a lot of wealthy people who are worth $270 million, you know, they've got this invincibility complex that they think, okay, well, I'm not held to the same standard as normal people, right, as normals, as regulars. I'm above all of that. So
I don't think he feels that way. Like I said, watch that clip. He's putting on the, he's got the clown shoes and the red nose on right now, trying to pretend that this isn't bothering him.
Yeah.
But this has sent a harpoon through him existentially. I mean, I think he understands that.
I think his lawyers are terrified too.
Every single nickel he makes for the rest of his life is going to come to him with a bite out of it. You know?
That's right. Well, that's what he needs to be prepared for. This will linger over his head for the rest of his hopefully short life. Mm-hmm. And I'm all there for it. I'm all there for it. Yes, he's going to appeal. Yes, he's going to try to wiggle out of this. But do you want to be that guy who has faced a trial for lying about murdered six-year-olds and has been penalized for that by possibly $2 billion?
Yeah.
With multiple judges.
Yeah.
Like you can appeal like separate rulings, but they all came from different sets of jurisprudence that are all like backed up by each individual judges.
So what have I been saying all along? It's in the journey.
Yeah.
That's where the real torture happens. It's the same with Donald Trump. Eventually, Donald Trump could end up seeing the inside of a jail cell. He could end up seeing a guilty verdict in one of these cases. But you know what's also enjoyable? Watching him go through hell in the meantime. Whether he lets on publicly that he's going through hell, that's a different story. But what we have to know is that if there are, let's say, two dozen just juggernauts bearing down, legal juggernauts bearing down on his fat ass. You don't want that. You don't want to be in that place. He's got 24 freight trains heading right to his bulbous pumpkin head. And no one wants to be in that place.
Yeah.
I assure you, he would much rather be spending Save America PAC money on paintings of himself and novelty MAGA hats for Lara Trump's birthday party. I don't know if you saw that. Oy. That's a real way to say I love you. Make sure to give your family members merch. Family, bear that in mind for the Christmas season. If you're looking for gifts for people, give them your own merch. That'll be popular.
That's what I'm going to get Lonnie now. From the bunker merch.
That's right.
I'm just, I'm going to re-gift one of Herschel Walker's illegitimate children.
There you go. Here's more perspective on this. You got to indulge me. I'm loving this story. So I'm going to put this total figure, this dollar figure, into perspective one more time. The families could forgive $65 million, or an appeals court could forgive $65 million, which, by the way, is the, I looked it up, the equivalent of the total estimated net worth of Kourtney Kardashian.
Wow.
And Jones would still owe the families, so far, $900 million. That's all in addition to the damages from the Texas trial in August, which was nearly $50 million. I realize you all can probably do the math in your heads.
Yeah.
And you don't need me to say it out loud, but you got to let me have this. Alex Jones owes the Sandy Hook families more than $1 billion.
$1 million.
No, it's billion, asshole. So meantime, let's see what else here. Oh, yeah. Reactions from
I wonder if his phone has been entered into evidence as part of all of that.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, the trial took place already. And you know what happened in the trial in all three of these cases? I think there were four separate lawsuits. Two of them were combined. So that gives a total of three. Those trials came and went. And you know why they whizzed by so fast last year? It's because the reason the judge decided in favor of the plaintiffs was because Alex Jones's team was being uncooperative during the discovery process. Right. They weren't doing anything the court was ordering them to do. So the judge found Alex, I keep wanting to say Donald Trump. The judge found Alex Jones liable by default because he fucked around. He was fucking around with the judge, just like he's been doing in the damages trial. But in the most important part of this, when they determine whether there will be damages at all, he was screwing around. He deserves
this.
They've
all been doing it. This is their whole routine. It's like when you're losing. Well, let me do it in the what's his name voice. When you are losing.
Oh, Sebastian Gorka.
Sebastian Gorka. You are victorious. When you are near. You're far. When you are strong, up here weak. but like, that's, I mean, they all just get out there and show their ass and openly flout the law, and their followers love it.
Yeah.
But the question is like, I mean, when do the handcuffs go on? You know, like.
Yeah, well, that's what Donald Trump has been doing with the system for years now.
And they all think they can. The Roger Stones, the Steve Bannons, the, you know. The,
yeah, well, what they're finding out now is that the system is pushing back. Mm-hmm. And the system will continue to push back. I mean, he's got this overinflated sense of invincibility from doing his show and his popularity and the fact that people talk about him. And he believes all of that, as I was saying before, he believes all of that is going to save him. And it's totally not. I mean, here are some of the people who are defending Alex Jones. And bear in mind what we're talking about here. One more time. It bears repeating. Alex Jones has been exploiting the deaths of murdered 6-year-olds, 20 of them, in order to increase his ratings, increase his downloads, increase his views on YouTube or wherever, whatever platform still has him. I don't think he's on YouTube anymore, but certainly increase his profit. I bet so much of that $270 million that he's worth came from, in part, some of the reporting he's been doing, some of the lies and ridiculous disinformation he's been telling about the Sandy Hook massacre, one of the worst events in American history. Something that I would put on par with 9/11.
And sheer unjustness of it. I mean, just the horror level is so off the charts when it's a bunch of 6-year-olds.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So irrespective of the context of all of this, the Sandy Hook fucking massacre, you have Charlie Kirk, whose teeny tiny chiclet brain keeps slipping out of his ear and landing on the floor. He's got to like spit on it and wash it off and stick it back in there. He said on Twitter yesterday, he said, this isn't about calculating real damages from Alex Jones. This is about sending a message. If you upset the regime, they will destroy you completely and utterly forever.
Wow.
Forever.
Oh, if only.
Yeah.
You fucking clod.
Well, it's not. It doesn't have anything to do with the regime, whatever he thinks the regime is. Joe Biden or Democratic leadership on the Hill or whatever the fuck. He believes it's the families of these poor children who were murdered in school, the educators who were murdered trying to protect the children. It has nothing to do with Joe Biden and the Democrats. Well, he can paint it that way because Charlie Kirk is a moron. He also said if Alex Jones owes $1 billion for saying mean things on his show. Yes, it was just mean things. He was just being mean to the Sandy Hook family.
Like, and it didn't stop out there because these people were hounded out of their homes.
Yeah.
Their lives have been threatened. They have been stalked and harassed and impersonated. And just it is insane. It is, you know, our own little brown shirts of America. And it's a thing that they do again and again and again that nobody seems to keep quite track of until it's them, you know? So.
Yeah. And here, meantime, here's a human foosball man, JD Vance, his little, his little circular head, his little puffy head. Alex Jones is a far more reputable source of information than Rachel Maddow. One of them is censored by the regime.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Yeah. Go sit on a fence spike, you shithead. I mean, seriously.
Ouch. He's another one who's using the word regime, which obviously indicates to me that they all receive the same talking points. Mm-hmm. They go out through whatever Twitter group or Facebook group or just by email, however they spread the word, however they get these talking points around. J.D. Vance clearly got the same talking points as Charlie Kirk, or maybe they came from Charlie Kirk. Who knows? But the word is regime. So they're making this all about, they want their audience, they want their fanboys to think that this was the Department of Justice that did this. They want their fanboys to think this was Merrick Garland and Joe Biden who did this. Not a jury.
Regimers, you're breaking our heart. Oh, sorry.
Let's see what else. Marjorie Taylor Greene said, no matter what you think of Alex Jones, all he did was speak words. Yes, that's all he did. It was just words. Don't you know? Words. You know, words that encourage someone to want to dig up the bodies of the children and then notify the parents of the children that they plan to dig up their children's bodies. Yeah. Just words.
Just what if words. I just said that Marjorie Taylor Greene should have both of her ears hooked up to the battery cables? You know, like, I mean, I'm just saying words here.
Right.
You know, that she should be like, you know, dropped from a helicopter or something. You know.
Just words, right?
Those are just words.
Yeah, of course. What's his first name? Mike Cernovich? Is it Mike Cernovich? Am I getting that name right?
I think
Cernovich.
So, yeah.
Cernovich says Alex Jones killed no one. He apologized for his erroneous reports. Yeah, very sincere of him.
No,
right?
He didn't.
Of which there weren't many. Nevertheless, in a trial where he wasn't allowed to defend himself on free speech grounds, he's now being ordered to pay hundreds of millions of dollars. Yay. Stalin's ghost has returned.
No.
Yes, it's Stalinism.
No. Go sit on a fence, Spike. Your fucking idiot sign is showing.
Benny Johnson.
Oh, God. How does this fucker have a career?
Yeah.
He has been, like, multiply caught plagiarizing, misrepresenting the facts. I mean, he's the most incompetent, you know, just, like, bubble-headed frat boy with, like, a head full of expired yogurt. That's just, like...
Yeah.
It just, like, somehow keeps, like, bobbing up like an unflushable turd in the right-wing toilet. I mean, it's just... God, if I ever meet that guy, I'm seriously going to ask someone else to kick him squarely in the nuts as hard as they can.
Alex Jones was just ordered to pay nearly $1 billion in a second defamation trial, just like deplatforming. Oh, it's the whining. Where's the whiny music here? Let's see here. Yeah. Just like deplatforming. This isn't about Alex Jones. It's about silencing political enemies. The regime, here it is again, the regime.
Yeah,
is
they got
setting
the talking points, you're right.
Yeah, this definitely went out yesterday.
I mean, I don't know who took it over from Roger Ailes after he, like, fell and cracked his head on the bathroom tile because he took too many Xanax, but,
sad.
Like, there's somebody who is, like, central talking points coordinator who faxes probably, well, they probably have advanced to email now that Roger's gone, but...
Yeah. What a shame. All right, well, still
it's
lots
like
of...
Rich Grinnell or some shithead like that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there are many more. You can't miss these reactions all circling the wagons around Alex Jones, which shows that these people are utterly fucking soulless. Passing laws to
defending their God-given right to harass the parents of murdered children.
Exactly.
Once again,
because that's what America is about. Yeah. Automatic weapons and pretending shit didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yes, the old adage, life begins at conception but ends at birth, I think applies very well here.
Look at the Herschel Walker thing. They don't fucking care.
No, obviously not. Yeah. Their closely held religious beliefs are fucking horseshit. Just negotiable. Doesn't matter if they need 51 votes in the Senate. Bye-bye closely held religious beliefs.
It's all bumper stickers. It's all bumper stickers and hate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So we have so much more to talk about, including this gigantic bombshell from both the New York Times and the Washington Post. The Washington Post initially was ahead of the game on this with regard to this Trump aide at Mar-a-Lago. Who is now on video and is now cooperating with DOJ about hiding documents. We're going to get into that. And we actually have some good news on the abortion front. And weirdly enough, it's good Supreme Court news.
What?
Which is strange. Yeah, that's a perfect reaction, Jody. Because
Alito's dead? No.
No. Because when I saw this story, I said the same thing.
What?
What is this? Am I reading this correctly? So we're going to talk about that here in just a second, too. But if you're pissed off at cable news and other very serious political analysts these days, here's an outstanding way to support independent media, specifically this here's show. For just $5 per month, you can support our Patreon page as we guide you through the madness and chaos of our politics. But it's not just about supporting shows like this one. You're also going to get bonus content as a reward for your monthly support. So we're giving back. We're talking about exclusive access to our Shadow Docket show recorded after the end credits on our Tuesday and Thursday shows. You also get access to the Patreon app where you can download the free show and our bonus content, plus get notifications about all of it. Plus, you can join the discussion in our community of Patreon members in the comments under each episode. All that for $5 per month, just pennies per show. So don't miss out. Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com. Bookmark it, send it to all your friends, and we thank you.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Make every other moment taste devoid of any flavor. And when you turn away, it's like the sun stops shining on me. So here I am in hiding, cause I can't risk confiding in you.
This is so good. They've totally done their homework. It's so 60s in a wonderful way, like the zombies or something.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is Our New Autumn, which, by the way, if you name your band after a season, you can guarantee that you're going to be played at least once every, you know, whatever, once every year when that season rolls around. Yeah, this song is called
Astral Summer. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Again, Not the One is the name of this song. Link in the description to support Our New Autumn. We're replaying a lot of songs we've already played here. You know why? Because we can. BobSeska.com/music to submit your work to the show. Please do that. Run, don't walk to that website right now. If you're an independent recording artist or you're in a band, send me your stuff. I talked to my lawyer yesterday, Bo Bowen, and his law partner, Ryan Schmidt, on the interview show. They just launched a brand new podcast called Allegedly with Bo and Ryan. It's funny. These guys are funny as fuck, and they're amazing lawyers. Take it from me. They've represented me for a long, long time. Yeah, so make sure to go and listen to the Wednesday show. And the reason I brought that up is Ryan Schmidt has his own band. He's a recording artist. He was on The Voice, believe it or not.
Really?
Yet another person I know who was on The Voice. I know two people now who have been on that show that I don't watch ever. So, yeah, it was Ryan Schmidt, who was on my show yesterday, and Betsy Aid from Well Known Strangers was also a contestant on The Voice. So, yeah, I've got a weird connection to a game show that I just don't watch. Okay. Ever.
There you go.
Would you put me on there? Is there like a cutoff for age? Or
no,
there is no
cutoff on The Voice. It's not like a idol.
Yeah, plus we need some Gen X representation up there. So go. Please go and audition, David. That'd be awesome. Then we could turn it into a bit on the show. Mm-hmm. We could do the show with you live from behind the scenes backstage at
The
Voice.
Bob, you already are one of the judges because your back is to me.
That's right. Yes, you are Uhura from Star Trek, and I am Captain Pike. Thank you very much.
Do you watch The Voice, Jody? Do you know how it works? Can you explain it to us? Because I've never seen it.
From what I gather,
on this strange transmission from another world.
Exactly. From what I gather, because I've never watched an episode, there are four judges, two of which are married to each other right now, and they have their backs to people singing, and when they spin around, the first person that spins around gets to keep them as somebody they're going to coach.
Yeah, you know what?
But this you is... can steal them from each other. It's what I like about it is what I like about that show versus Idol is they're just listening to the singing and not looking at the person initially.
It sounds even more complicated than ranked choice voting. That's what it sounds like to me. I'm like, wait a minute. Repeat all that again. Can you run through that again?
Basically, if you like the person's voice, you spin around really fast.
Yes.
And then the judges all fuck with each other.
And then John Legend is one of the judges?
John Legend, Blake Shelton.
That's about the correct pronunciation of that name.
And what's her face from the No Doubt people? And
God, what is Gwen?
Gwen Stefani. Gwen Stefani. She and Blake Shelton, I believe, are married now.
Oh yeah.
Then one other human. There's a
girl. There was like some point where they were like Blake and Gwen. It was like their engagement ring pictures, and then it's like fucking engagement party pictures, and then wedding pictures, and baby, and it's like, and then they were talking about like learning to navigate fame and privacy. I'm like, dude, they've showed us her ultrasounds, okay? Like, there's no more privacy. You guys have monetized every single aspect of your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah. Well, I need to start watching because you never know if there's someone else I know have met at some point. I'm just gonna look for people I know on the show. Because that seems to be a thing. All right, moving along here. More good news coming out of the Mar-a-Lago matter, the espionage situation with Donald Trump. There's a Trump employee. I gathered from this, it's not someone who works as a staff member at Mar-a-Lago. It's someone who works directly for Donald Trump, like an aide.
Whoa, dude.
Yeah, who deals with all kinds of ex-president shit, rallies and handling Trump, bringing his hamburgers and ketchup. And
that's someone who doesn't want to see the inside of a jail cell.
Right. And so this Trump aide is now cooperating with the Department of Justice in this Mar-a-Lago case. And everything this aide has told the DOJ is also corroborated with the surveillance video that was turned over from Mar-a-Lago.
Mm.
All right, so this is enormous because...
But the instructions were, after the subpoena, Trump said, hide the shit so the government doesn't get it.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. There was a subpoena issued from the Department of Justice in May, and Trump ordered this guy, Walt Nauta, N-A-U-T-A. I'm assuming his last name is pronounced Nauta. It's probably different than that because that's my luck. But Walt Nauta says that Trump ordered him to move those boxes of documents from the basement into Trump's office.
Jesus.
Before and after the documents were subpoenaed in May. Now, bear in mind, I have posted pictures. There have been pictures of the inside of Trump's office. There are two giant French doors right behind his desk that lead out to the ground floor at Mar-a-Lago. Leads out, I assume, to the Lido deck or whatever the hell is out there, out by the pool.
Shuffleboard courts.
Yeah, so we're not talking about, I mean, he could come up with some sort of vague excuse that at least in the basement there was a lock on the door and that it could be in a weird way defined as a skiff, even though it's not a skiff, not even remotely. But he could make that case. His office, on the other hand, is just wide open to Mar-a-Lago guests. Anyone could wander in there.
Yeah.
And so he had all of these top secret documents, including all of those empty folders in his office. Yeah. All of those empty TSSEI folders. Now, as I said, it's all corroborated by the surveillance video. So they've got him dead to rights on this. Then it says here, as part of the investigation, the Department of Justice has interviewed Mr. Nauta on several occasions, according to one of the people. Those interviews started before the FBI executed a search warrant at Mar-a-Lago on August 8 and carted off more than 11,000 documents, including about 100 that bore classified markings. Mr. Nauta has answered questions but is not formally cooperating with the investigation of Mr. Trump's handling of the documents. So the other thing is, the Walt Nauta stuff comes from Maggie Haberman's reporting. I think it's Maggie Haberman's reporting of the New York Times. Right, yeah. This is Haberman and Alan Feuer.
Feuer.
I don't know how you say that.
Hafar.
Feuer. Hafar.
Hafar.
Walda.
Walda.
What?
But yeah, that's the Walt Nauta part of this. But there might be a second aide who's cooperating. People have been looking and comparing and contrasting both Maggie Haberman's reporting in the Times and the initial report in the Washington Post are suggesting that these are two different aides for Donald Trump, who have come forward and are talking to the DOJ. So the Washington Post story might not be about Nauta. So the New York Times says the Washington Post reported on Wednesday that Mr. Trump directed an employee who had been interviewed by the FBI to move boxes at Mar-a-Lago. It is not clear whether that employee was Mr. Nauta. So that's an important detail. And the person familiar with the matter and with Mr. Trump's orbit said it could be a different staff member.
Huh.
So it's probably some low-level coffee boy that we haven't heard about yet.
Don Jr.?
Yeah.
My name's Eric.
And so it could end up being someone we don't know about, but I'm always looking for instances of Stephen Miller getting himself into trouble.
Right.
That's always good news for me. So there it is. That's the latest information that we have from this ongoing investigation. And, you know, there still seems to be an open question about whether or not Donald Trump was confessing at his rally. I'm not going nuts when I believe that he confessed at that rally over the weekend when he said, yeah, these documents are mine. Right. You guys think that he confessed, right?
He never does anything quietly. He tells everybody everything about himself. He really even worse impulse control than Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of, to me, the most aggravating thing is that all these prosecutors are putting together these ironclad cases. I'm like, he told you that he did it.
Yeah.
He told you that he fired James Comey to stop the Russia investigation. It is all there. You don't have to establish state of mind or whatever when he's like telling you on TV.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, here in the Post reporting, it says Trump grew angry this spring after a House Oversight Committee investigation was launched, telling aides they'd, quote, screwed up the situation. Yeah, it's always someone else's fault, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The buck stops with everyone except Donald Trump. No accountability for this bastard. He also said, they're my documents, according to an aide who spoke to him. So once again, it's Daffy Duck.
It's mine, you understand? Yeah. Mine, all mine. Get back in there. Yeah. Down. Go. Mine.
I don't think he's ever really grasped what the Presidential Records Act is about.
No.
No. I mean, not with all the flushing and swallowing and shredding.
Yeah, I forgot about the swallowing. Gross.
Just I mean, the whole concept of this being a, highly scrutinized and historic position was just he's just no, I shit on that.
The ongoing thing I've been observing with this is that very thing, his belief in ownership, that he believes because he walked out of the White House with these documents, that they are therefore his. I've been comparing it to a bully from second grade who would come up to you in the cafeteria and lick your sandwich and then say, that's mine now.
Ugh.
That's what Donald Trump has done. He put his taint on these documents by pretending he declassified them and then assumes that they just belong to him because he took them and because he was president. And when he was president, the United States was his property.
Yeah.
He was the owner of the United States.
Yeah.
He was the CEO of the United States. But it was it was more than just believing that he was the CEO. He believed that he owned the United States, that the stuff in the White House belonged to him, even these highly sensitive documents. Because he waved his stubby fingers over them and said, declassify.
Well, even if
he never even
case,
did that. It never even occurred to him. Yeah.
He never did that. And even if he had, it's irrelevant.
Right. He just
doesn't matter.
Thought.
And the documents that I had, all declassified.
Hey, that was great. That was the best Trump you've ever done. That was brand new and perfect.
It's because I have heartburn right now.
Oh, man. So, yeah. So he believes he owns this shit. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I mentioned some good news. Well, the Supreme Court will not decide whether fetuses are persons.
Wow, they're not taking that case?
No, they have declined to take up this case on appeal from an appeals court ruling. So the appeals court ruling on this
stands
that fetuses aren't persons, guaranteed constitutional protections. The justices turned away an appeal by a Catholic group and two women of a lower court's ruling, holding that fetuses lack the proper legal standing to challenge a 2019 state law codifying the right to abortion in line with the Roe precedent. The two women who were pregnant when the case was first filed sued on behalf of their fetuses and then later gave birth.
Wait.
First, well, you know, Chief Justice Roberts was like, y'all, we got killed.
Here's the thing. You only need four Supreme Court justices to vote to hear a case, which means there were six of them that said, no fucking way.
Yeah, exactly. So in this situation,
at least six of them, I mean, you know.
I guess this is the final word
from
the United States Supreme Court that there is no
personhood.
Federal status of personhood for fetuses.
Good.
So that's a big deal. So any sort of, I don't know how this, I know there's the supremacy clause,
right,
which supersedes state law. It's possible that this would then eliminate any fetal personhood laws.
I hope so.
I don't know that it overwrites, though, constitutional amendments at the state level, state constitutional amendments that claim fetal personhood. So there's still some question marks in this, but it's invariably positive that this super conservative Supreme Court, this Trump Supreme Court, said, fetuses don't get personhood in this country.
I wish we knew what the vote tally was to not take
maybe
the case.
Maybe it'll leak.
They didn't rule. They usually just don't. They take a case or they don't. So you don't know who wanted to take the case, and you never know who doesn't want to take a case.
Yeah. Let's see here. Yep. You're exactly right, Jody. It doesn't certainly doesn't say here.
And you said that the women that sued were pregnant, and they were suing on behalf of their fetuses. So where was the standing? Because they weren't going to abort these fetuses. So I don't understand what the lawsuit was for. I don't get it.
I guess they were trying to say that we're suing on behalf of our fetuses in order to give our fetuses constitutional rights per the court.
All right.
So our fetuses deserve constitutional rights, and therefore by granting our fetuses constitutional rights, you'll be granting all fetuses constitutional rights.
I see.
So that's kind of how I interpret this. I could be totally wrong.
Because it just, when you read it before, I'm like, wait, where's the standing here? If you're not pregnant, or you're pregnant and you want to keep the pregnancy and go to term, then I don't see who's who's at risk at this point.
Yeah. There is no risk, obviously, to these fetuses.
Right.
I just want to say the word fetus a few more times. fetus song. Fetus, say it all day long.
Well, I don't want to use the term baby.
You know, I finally figured out what Greg Gutfeld looks like.
What?
If you imagine a cave troll from The Lord of the Rings. Imagine now a fetus version of a cave troll from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, good God.
And that's what Greg Gutfeld looks like. One of the trolls from, not the Lord of the Rings itself, but from The Hobbit.
There you go.
One of those three trolls that holds Bilbo Baggins captive in The Hobbit. Greg Gutfeld looks like one of those trolls, except like as a fetus. You know, because he's so small. Like
you're
Greg Gutfeld
nerd.
Is SMOL small.
You're like such a nerd that you're like doing prenatal trolls.
So if you think I'm a nerd now, you should have seen the reaction, Jody's reaction and Amanda's reaction to my office space.
Here. I'm in
the
Jody, nerd
how
room.
How many action figures can you see
oh my
from
God.
Where you're currently sitting?
Wait, I can count that. I need all my fingers and toes and then other people's fingers and toes. I mean, but it's really
there
cool.
Are.
He's got a Grogu and he's got a Mandalorian helmet. He's got a ship. He's got a golem. He's got many R2-D2s.
Oh, yeah. No one said anything about the life-size golem in the corner.
Yeah.
It looks super creepy.
He is creepy.
Yeah, very creepy. And then also, she said Grogu. Well, Grogu is also life-size.
He is. That is true. It is a life-size version of Grogu.
And I am so proud of every piece.
Oh, I'm going to take pictures of myself in here everywhere.
Kimberly's always like, Bob, it's like a museum in your office.
It is. It's very,
seriously,
you're very tidy.
Seriously, get someone to take a picture of you, like, confronting the...
Golem?
Golem, yeah.
Scary.
Trixie Jody's.
I'll have him hold my ring. Like,
sad.
Yeah. Sad. Let's take a second break.
All right, yeah, second break. You know what? You took the words right out of my mouth. Back with more show right after this.
Seska plays more music.
Okay, we've got breaking news. By the way, this is Pasha Black from Ukraine.
Yay, a song called Pasha!
September's Tale. It's the 2021 remix of September's Tale. Link in the description to support. You got to support Pasha Black. He's still in Kyiv.
How is Pasha? Yeah?
He seems to be doing fine. He's still in Kyiv living with his parents. Yeah, they're hunkered down, obviously, in the middle of all of this fucking horror show that's happening in Ukraine. So the breaking news, Jody, do you want to give us the breaking news on this?
Yes, Buzz Bergbank and AG of Mueller, she wrote, both tweeted out the January 6th committee is on a recess for the moment, but multiple reports are confirming that the committee will vote publicly today to subpoena Donald John Trump for testimony.
Wow! Wow! Why am I saying it like that? Wow!
That's huge.
Yeah, I'll say it like Owen Wilson now. Wow! That's like everyone can do that. Everyone can do that voice. So that is gigantic. Of course he's going to ignore it. Of course he's going to stonewall. Of course he's going to stew to defy the subpoena.
Oh, there's cameras, Bob.
Oh, yeah.
You underestimate his desperate desire for everyone's attention at once.
You know what?
Ratings thing. Ratings, ratings, ratings.
Yeah.
It's like a honey trap.
That's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
Abso-fucking-lutely. He may actually submit to this subpoena.
No, he is so hungry for attention, but he's going to, like, he doesn't understand that the lies are all going to, I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, I think he will. I think he'll do it. Didn't he say, hasn't he said in the past, why haven't they called me? I want to talk. And we've all said, well, he shouldn't talk because
that's just dumb.
He's just going to turn it into a show.
Right.
I mean, it would have to be a behind closed doors deposition, right?
He'd never do that. I don't think he would do that.
No, he's terrible in depositions. They would tape it. I mean, they're not giving anybody a pass on that.
Interesting. Okay. Well, this indicates that the Jan 6 committee work continues on and on past this. Mm-hmm. So we may end up seeing another hearing before the end of the year.
Oh, we will.
Yeah. I sincerely hope that we do. I sincerely hope that we have the opportunity to see more hearings. Not just for the remainder of this year, but into next year, too.
Mm-hmm.
And guess whose hands that's in?
Ours.
Ours. Voters. Voters determine whether or not the January 6th committee will get to continue to do its work into the next Congress. And that's where so many of these things end up landing. It's all up to us. In a democracy, I guess that's the way it's supposed to work. But it's scary as fuck to know that, you know, given the status of a lot of very badly misled and suckered American voters, that there could be some Republican president that gets elected in 2024, like Ron DeSantis. Now, I don't know if I've mentioned this. I don't know if I've mentioned this on the Thursday show to either of you, but I have this theory. I've been calling it the Fred Thompson effect. Did I talk about the Fred Thompson effect?
Heard you talk to Buzz about it.
Okay, yes. So I may have mentioned this to Buzz on the Tuesday show. I know I've mentioned it to Kimberly on the after party. But Fred Thompson was like widely regarded as being the possible next Ronald Reagan for most of the early 2000s. Like, okay, well, we love his performances in his movies and he seems like a tough guy. And so, yeah, he'd be great. He's a Republican. We'll bring him in. I bet he'll do really, really well. And they've anointed him as the heir apparent to Reagan and the Reagan legacy. And then he appears on debate stages in 2008. During that presidential primary. And everyone's like, hang on, that's the guy? That's Fred Thompson? He'd been sick. Mm-hmm. He was looking frail and gaunt and not the way he's looked in movies. And so that kind of dissuaded a lot of people. And he ended up dropping out quite quickly.
Thought you were going to say that Ron DeSantis was five kids in a grown-up suit. I was like, that would explain the arms.
Well,
like,
no, I honest to God believe that when Ron DeSantis enters the national arena, when he runs nationally outside of Florida, outside of the confines of Fox News Channel, once he's in front of Republican primary voters in Iowa and New Hampshire and in these debates, people are going to hear him talk. They're going to see that he's only, what, 5'7 or something like that. He looks like, we've compared him to looking like, I think Cliff Schechter said he looks like a meatball.
He does.
I think he looks, yeah, he's very meatball shaped with his white boots. And people are going to hear him talk. And he's got this, thin, whiny voice. Yeah. And he has zero charisma. I think they're expecting like Donald Trump version 2.0, but with maybe more gray matter in his head. But he doesn't have that Trump charisma. Certainly not.
Right.
He doesn't even have the Trump voice. And even Trump's got kind of a high, whiny voice. But Ron DeSantis has a nothing voice, like a flatline nothing voice, not dynamic at all. So I believe that when Ron DeSantis enters the first debate and subsequent debates and he's doing national spots and is in those Kleeglites of the Republican primary, people are going to start to go, wait, this isn't the guy. I thought he was someone else. This is, maybe someone else. Let's take a look around. I'm not necessarily saying that's going to be enough to doom him in the Republican primaries. It's I'm just going to say he's going to lose a lot of support. The luster is going to be off of Ron DeSantis.
Yeah.
What do you say, like David?
He's born to flop sweat. But yeah.
Well, along those lines, Rachel Maddow was with Tony Cohen on what network? Bravo. On Bravo. You know, Tony Cohen, who does all of the wrap-up shows after Real Housewives and all those kinds of reality shows.
Yeah. He did. Okay, I know who he is.
Yeah.
Wait, Andy Cohen?
Andy Cohen. Why did I say Tony Cohen?
Tony Cohen.
Okay, Tony. It's Andy Cohen.
I really
hate him. I don't like that guy.
Yeah.
He's a misogynist, but let's go.
Well, he talked to Rachel Maddow and Melissa Etheridge, and to my surprise, and this was this week, to my surprise, Rachel said basically the exact same thing I've been saying about Ron DeSantis. Here's Rachel Maddow with Andy Cohen.
Do you remember when Jared Kushner was working for Trump in the White House, but nobody had ever heard him speak?
Yes.
And then finally, like a year into it, he went and gave a press conference and he's Jared Kushner and we've never heard from him. He walks up to the microphone and he goes,
that's what's going to happen to DeSantis.
People think DeSantis is this character. And then he walks up to the microphone and he's like,
okay, so let's go back. We were laughing over this.
Oh my God, that was hilarious.
Yeah, okay. Let's continue here.
That's what's going to happen to DeSantis.
I feel the same way with DeSantis. Wow. People think DeSantis is this character. And then he walks up to the microphone and he's like, it's no compute.
Oh my God, I love
yeah,
that.
See, that's it. She said the same thing that I've been saying. People are going to hear his voice. So I feel a little bit vindicated by that.
She just like shot his nuts off, though. Like,
but it's always like, it's a little bit like this. This is as close as I'm going to get to a Ron DeSantis voice, and it's just kind of flat and monotone and not very dynamic.
And that's
it always blows me away how gay they all sound.
Mm-hmm. You know, a little bit. You know what? Yeah. Ron DeSantis, a little bit. He has a little bit of that.
Mr. Oops from Texas.
Mr.
The one that looks like a dog wearing glasses. You know, what's his name?
When he forgot about the Department of Education.
Yeah,
Rick Perry. Rick Perry.
Rick Perry, right. Nobody's home. Nobody's
yeah. And then there's also Pastor Jeffress. Have you ever heard Pastor Jeffress talk on Fox News Channel?
Oh, yeah.
He
sets off all the gaydar signals.
He's like, always talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, except he says it like this. The Lord Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
He's always talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ forgives our sins.
Like, okay. All right, Pastor Jeffress.
Stop making me
you know why he loves Jesus?
I think we should ban him.
Hold out your arms. Hold out your arms and go, because he was hung like this.
I don't think there should be same-sex marriage. The gays should not be having butt sex with each other.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that's
it. They should be having it with rent boys in hotel rooms high on crystal meth like a proper pastor.
See, now that was very similar to my my Lindsey Graham voice.
That was.
Yeah, it was very similar.
For Lindsay, you gotta get the adenoidal kind of thing where he doesn't really breathe through his nose. My name is Lindsey Graham. I had a whole plate of dog dicks myself.
Yes, there's something mysterious happening among conservatives, Southern conservatives. Not sure what it is.
I don't think it's that fucking mysterious.
God.
I just wish some of these people that actually, you know, endorse the checks or whatever and, like, bring them the cocaine and suck their dicks would just come forward and be like, yeah. You know, because I feel like that, I mean, they're like, you know, Matt fucking Gaetz is living like this little Caligula going on marijuana junkets to Bermuda with underage girls. And they're telling us that we're the groomers and weirdos. It's like, no, you guys are fucking, there's nothing to your ideology. You're just shitty people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who hate people who aren't like you. That's right. All it is, because you're fucking decadent, wasteful, greedy, hate. I mean, just it's none of the values that you claim to espouse, like back the blue. Well, unless they're guarding the Capitol.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or like, you know, let's be protective of children, unless they're a 16-year-old girl from Europe who wants to stop global climate change, you know.
Oh,
like,
God. Fuck Tucker Carlson, by the way.
Yeah.
Did you see him trolling Greta Thunberg?
What
yesterday?
Did he do
Thunberg,
now?
Yeah, Thunberg. Is it Thunberg?
Yes,
yeah,
it's Thunberg.
He was just he was attacking her and saying that she gets a pass because of her disability and all this fucking horrendousness.
Yeah, so do you, Tucker.
Perfect.
You know, when it comes to Tucker Carlson, I've got a disability too. I can't fucking be bothered, all right?
You know, I have
that's my disability.
I have a post pinned on my Twitter profile page of a photo of Tucker that I want people to start using that in every single news story and blog post and tweet about Tucker Carlson. And very few people are taking me up on that. I just want to throw that
in. Is it the one where he looks like Terrence and Phillip crossed with a toddler?
Bingo. That's
like
exactly
his head is hinging in the middle. I love that picture.
Yes, with the little teeth. Like he's got the little like weird creepy baby.
Nasty little corn teeth. Yeah,
the tiny baby teeth. Just so creepy. Little baby teeth on a grown up is especially creepy. Okay, speaking of little...
Because he's a tapeworm and he has to attach to the wall of the small intestine.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I wanted to add, too, the Treasury Inspector General. The Inspector General of the Treasury Department is investigating Ron DeSantis' migrant flights. So Ron DeSantis, by the way, is under investigation by the Treasury Department. Yes,
dude,
deserves
it's like
it. Weren't fuck
even
him.
In your
fuck
fucking state. You had to go shop for asylum seekers in Texas to ship them off to Martha's Vineyard like human cargo.
Yep.
And charge the state millions of dollars to do it. I mean, yeah. I mean, that alone should disqualify from ever holding office of anything higher than dog catcher ever again.
Oh, God, yeah, yeah.
But, like, that's going to make him a god in the Republican Party because they just love cruelty.
Well, his reasoning, remember, he said, well, the immigrants are only coming in onesies and twosies in Florida.
Yeah, but he said onesies and twosies.
Onesies and twosies.
Oh, man, yeah. When that blood hits the water, I really want to see the feeding frenzy around him.
Yeah.
When people realize that he's, like, you know, half an inch tall and...
Perfect.
I mean, if the white boots don't do it, I don't know what will.
I'm so looking forward to that. That's going to be fun, 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 fun. All right. So Sarah Palin seems to acknowledge that Putin is dangerous.
Well, because he can see her house.
Yes.
His house. So
She
caught him out in the yard last week. You know,
she did the exact same thing that she did in 2008 about keeping Putin in check because she's in Alaska up there. So they're on the front lines keeping with the first responders, she says here. Here's
oh, my God. Let's roll the clip, shall we?
Yeah, this is Sarah Palin talking about little nukes and Alaska keeping an eye on Putin. This is Fox and Friends.
And so now the worry is he's going to resort to some sort of little nuke. But in the world, there's no such thing as a little nuke.
Whoa. That's right. That's why we need to keep our eye on Putin, right? That's why... Alaska, our strategic location that we are in, the military force that is there, they are on top of everything. Our guys are.
Our guys.
Making sure that, you know, we're keeping him in check.
The first dude is there with his snow machine,
well,
keeping
him in
check.
He's not her first dude anymore.
Hold up. Oh, that's right.
Hold up. There is a thing in Alaska called a DEW station, a distant early warning station.
Yeah.
And those are the furthest outposts of, like, on the ground Western eyes.
That is true.
That is true, but that's not Alaska's responsibility. That's right. A federal responsibility.
No, that's a federal installation, but I'm saying
she makes
that,
it sound as if she is there herself with a pair of binoculars.
With a shotgun across her lap.
Yeah.
Right. All right, let's continue here.
Everything our guys are making sure that, we're keeping him in check. And Putin and his guys trying to get in our airspace.
But you know what, David? She could have actually said early warning system. Like, we have a base here.
No, it's true. Like, I mean, they should actually call out the military personnel who are doing that and say thank you. But, you know.
Yeah. But she doesn't
have to be Democrats or something or black.
She said, guys are doing. Our guys are
doing with their snow machines up there in the
Wasilla,
you know.
I mean, I question whether she even knows about the early warning system.
I would hope as the next governor.
Yeah. She just thinks, well, because Siberia is right there. Oh, God.
Him in check. And Putin and his guys trying to get in our airspace and everything else. It's our responders who are out there shooing them away and letting the rest of the nation know that, in some respects, they're up to no good. We have to keep an eye on them.
Right.
Interesting. So a Republican.
She hasn't gotten the memo.
On Fox News Channel is saying that we need to keep an eye on Vladimir Putin.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
Shooing him away like he's a buffalo or a moose that got off course, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Their fucking phony accent. Like, I know people from Alaska. They talk like us. They talk like normal people. That is like a corned up, like Minnesota, like Fargo, like put on folksy garbage. I mean, anyway.
Yeah. Well, obviously, Tucker Carlson was down the hall screaming this.
Shut up. Shut the hell up.
When he heard Tucker Carlson.
I love this so much.
Yeah. Shut up.
Yeah. Don't criticize.
It's so cathartic. One more time for me, Bob.
Don't criticize Vladimir Putin.
Shut up. Shut the hell up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
Yeah. So here's an example of the accent you're talking about. For some reason, she believes the word deal is pronounced dill.
A big darn dill.
I don't know. I don't. She also said this. I'm just going to play this randomly.
Petty, punk-ass little thuggery stuff that's been going on.
Thuggery stuff.
But see, I don't think she knows what's coming out of her mouth half the time.
I agree.
She hears wildly.
Yeah.
Like, from word to word, like Trump does. And I really feel like she was, like, the beginning of the cognitive breakdown of the people who, like, you know, like, they're, like, dumb and proud, and they're like, you know, she makes sense to me. She tells it like it is. And it's just like a bunch of like stupid coded buzzwords in a certain pattern. And it doesn't matter like whether the syntax is off.
Yeah. There was some sycophant at some point during the 2008 campaign who said to Sarah Palin, hey, you know what? When you speak off the cuff, you're great. Mm-hmm. You're entertaining. Please keep going off script. Go off prompter all you want. And she took that seriously for some reason and felt because of that compliment from someone who was merely trying to kiss her ass. And this is just my theory. Mm-hmm. From someone who was trying to kiss her ass. So that's why she feels entitled to go off prompter and say stupid shit like,
petty, punk-ass little thuggery stuff that's been going on.
She like nailed it. Thuggery stuff. That's going to become a thing now.
Sounds like she's like in line at the drive-thru at Starbucks.
Yeah.
You know, and they got her white chocolate mocha wrong.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she's just going off.
Uh-huh.
They won't let her back her car up because the next person in line is pulled up to the window and she wants to back up and scream at them, you know, like.
Oh, shit. Well, she didn't get the memo, as you said. That you're supposed to support Vladimir Putin if you're a Republican. You're supposed to be into that, and you're supposed to call Democrats warmongers.
Right, that's the new one.
Warhawks. It's like those Tulsi Gabbard supporters at that AOC town hall.
Oh, God, that fucking shithead. She's like, I'm leaving the Democratic Party. And we're like, girl, where you been? We knew that.
We knew that years ago.
Cynical cash grab.
Hillary Clinton called you out as a Russian asset.
So did Kamala Harris. Yeah.
Well, you know, as I said on Fuglesang's show last night, this is one of those situations where she's like, oh, my God, you mean there's actual cash flow in the Republican side of things on this? There are actually financiers who are giving people like me money to say these ridiculous things. Sign me up.
Yep.
And that's exactly what she did. This is a career move.
Yeah.
This is, right. I can make a lot of money by going on Fox News Channel and saying stupid shit. And I know where the money's coming from. It's probably Russia. But also Sheldon Adelson, the Koch brothers, and go down the list of wealthy right-wing financiers, names you've probably never heard of, too, dark money groups, and so on. That's why Tulsi Gabbard has abandoned the Democratic Party. On the Democratic side, and David, you and I especially, and Cliff Schechter on top of that, for years have
no,
been...
No, we've been calling her like Tunsi Gopshite.
Well, yeah, but we've been lamenting the fact that on the Democratic side, we don't have a financial apparatus right. like that supporting liberal
right.
politics.
Right.
There's a little bit of it circulating around, but that's what we talk about, the George Soros checks facetiously, right. as if it's a myth, because it is a myth.
Right.
No one's seen any of that money.
I have not. He owes me, man.
The things we could do with a marketing budget, we could bring you fucking spicy Jody hot sauce.
Ooh, I like that idea.
Yeah,
Bob and Kimberly sexy refrigerator magnets.
Here's a great example of the disparity between the left and the right as far as financing goes. There is a fucking CPAC event almost every month.
Yeah.
There's only one Netroots every year.
Right.
I don't know of anything that's the equivalent of CPAC and these TPUSA events that they have seemingly every week. It's not happening on the left.
Nope.
And it's because of a complete lack of financing. And it's financing now that Tulsi Gabbard would be... Tulsi Gabbard's going to be sucking off that teat for a long, long time. So get ready.
So we all need to sue Herschel Walker for $10,000 for aiding a Texas woman in getting an abortion.
That's right.
We all get the money and put it in a pool and get rich.
I like that.
Bye,
folks. Okay, yes, we're running past the theme music, but take care, folks. Shadow Docket's coming up next. BobSeskaShow.com. See you over there, folks. Bye-bye.
I think I've done it again, and I know that I do this to myself. I go overboard with all the fantasizing, and now I've decided on you. Now the moments I can get a taste of your attention make every other moment taste devoid of any flavor. And when you turn away, it's like the sun stops shining on me. So here I am in hiding, 'cause I can't risk confiding in you. It's easier behind this petty masquerade mask that does a shoddy job of covering the truth. Will I ever love again? Have I ever really loved at all? Maybe what I fool myself in love is just repression, fear of loss, and a sense of misplaced trust. Either way, I'm crazy about you, but every step I take feels like a step in the wrong direction. I want you to best life, be your best self, and come home to me. So here I am in hiding, 'cause I can't risk confiding in you. It's easier behind this petty masquerade mask that does a shoddy job of covering the truth. Don't think I'm ready for a new love, can't seem to get it right. I'm afraid of losing you, love, but you are never mine. I think I've done it again. 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 I think I've done it again.
don't know how I fell so in love. You're not the one, you're not the one, you're not the one for me, you're not the one. Now it's so plain to see. Don't know how I got so hung up. You're not the one. Don't know why I am so in love. You're not the one. You're not the one. You're not the one.
1 million dollars.
Bob Seska plays more music.
Is broken, and she tries to be cool, staying alive. My September style is ending up, and I think I've become an alien in a secret path of garden. I collect leaves of green, leaves of yellow. I start the fire. They're asking questions, finding the answers. I was sipping my drink, the blood of September. Mice were sneaking in close, it's true, not my love. Feeling the cold of upcoming November. I felt the eyes underneath and the clouds above. My September star is ending up, and I think I've become an alien in a secret path and garden. I collect leaves of green, leaves of yellow.
Find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.